Children can be excused for children's church, and teens can be excused for teen church. And if we're lucky, we'll have a few folks left in here.
There's two of them.
Tim called out the number of the hymn in my book open to 657, which is Stand Up for Jesus also, but it's the other tune.
So we'll do that next time.
Okay, good. I want us to think about something this morning. As you get older, you slow down a little bit, and at least you're supposed to. Now some of you are shaking your heads, especially you ladies. But as you get older, you slow down a little bit. But God does not slow down. God continues on. He has a plan. He has a purpose for everyone in this auditorium, for everyone in this church building, even the children. He's got a purpose for them. And we, as we meet together here, as they go out to their classes, we are preparing them to fulfill the purpose that God has. At least I hope we are. I hope that these children are able to understand that God has something for them to do. And so I want us this morning to look at keeping up with God. And for our verse, for our scripture, Romans 12, 2. And here's what it says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we're all on a journey. We are. For some of us, we don't know where we're headed. For others, we have a goal, or perhaps many goals, and we're right now headed for one of them. Is there a question as to whether we will achieve our goals? Possibly. Are our goals the same goals that God has for us? There's one goal that I trust we will reach, and that would be eternity with our Lord and Savior. I trust that every one of us will achieve that goal. What a day that's going to be. The practice of our faith should never be political. It may most likely be affected by politics, but the daily practice of our faith should never, ever be political in nature. It should be spiritual, with no worldly influence controlling it. And we are entering a time, folks, where things are changing. Our society is undergoing a change that is, for some of us, very drastic. And as I was preparing this message, I've had questions. What will I do if such and such a situation arises in our society? And for some of the questions, I have not had an answer. But I want to try and share a few answers with you this morning. Not all of them, just a few of them. Things that were unimaginable 60 years ago are actually reality today. If the nation continues to move in the direction that it is moving today, there are going to be some big changes in our spiritual life, and we're going to have to make some of those changes. As I was reading about the history of this great nation, God showed me some truth that may longer be able to continue as we know it. In the 450 years that this country has been developing, and it's not, I know it's only 250 years old, but 200 years before that, they came as pioneers, they came as explorers, they came as people who were fleeing persecution in other parts of the world. They came here. And the first group that came to settle came with a Bible. It was the Geneva Bible. And they came with a Bible, and the Bible was the direction that they chose for the way they would organize and the way they would live their lives. Most of them died due to the weather, due to starvation, because they were not prepared for what lay ahead of them. But some of them survived, and they continued on living by their book, the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible is very similar. It was used to translate the King James. And so that's what they based everything that we have had in the past upon, the Word of God. Now, no one has ever, in this country, no one has ever been prosecuted for obeying the Word of God. In other countries, they've been put to death. Even today, someone somewhere is going to die for the Word of God, because they are practicing what God says. I believe that God is preparing the world for the coming of the Messiah. And since we are a part of the world, we are included in that preparation. That's why things are going on like they are. God is in control, folks. He has never lost control. He's never given it up. He's still in control today, no matter what you might think. If you're involved in our Wednesday night Bible study, we're addressing this issue in the last five verses. We did address it in the last five verses Wednesday night of the book of Joel. He was the first prophet, written prophet, to present the future event to the Jews of the coming of the Messiah. I want to put two verses together so as you can see what is taking place and realize that what's going on in this country is nothing strange, but it's just part of God's will being done. Two verses are Romans 8, 27 and 28. 28 you know, but let's put 27 with it. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, that's you and me, according to the will of God. So what's happening to us today is God's will. And we know, here's our verse, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, God is working his will in our life, and everything he's doing, is it good? Well, everything he's doing is good, but mankind and the devil is working against him, and that's where the bad things come in. But even they work together for good. Now, we don't have to depend upon our own intellect to understand the things that are going on, because the Holy Spirit within us is attempting to operate within the will of God. Whether or not we are approaching the end times, I don't really know. I believe we are. Paul thought he was 2,000 years ago, and it haven't happened yet. But it is coming, because God said it was. Up until now, there are things that we should have been doing and we've not done because we didn't see the need for them. One of the things that we should have been doing is memorizing Scripture. Now, when I was in college, which was back, there were still a few dinosaurs around. But at that time, I was memorizing scripture. The college said, you know, memorize scripture, hide it in your heart, hide it in your brain. Because there may be a day coming, folks, when you won't have a scripture. There are countries within this world right now, if you have one page of the Bible, you will be put in prison. If you have a whole Bible, you might be put to death, and it will be burned on your corpse. We need to have this book, not just here, but it has to be here in order for it to be here. And so we need to work on it. And my wife, sneaky thing she is, I didn't know she was doing this, she's making you ladies memorize scripture. What a horrible thing to do. Now you're beginning to see some of the mean things that are happening to me. Up to now, we should have been memorizing scripture, but we have not been because we didn't see the need for it. But folks, there is a need for it. We need to have the scripture readily available on the tip of our tongue to share with the people around us. Now, there are other governments that have turned against God. Our government has turned against Him right now. And they make the Bible illegal. They're trying to do that with the Bible right now. There's just too many people who love the Lord for it to happen the way they want it to. But if they're able to destroy it, to get it out of circulation, the only Bible we'll have is what's here. Here. Now we know the purpose for God, for us, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are several ways that we can do that. We have a sign out front where we're doing it right now, and I praise the Lord for the ladies who have got working on this programming. And it is so neat. We can put anything on there, anything, and it gets people's attention. And so we have a web page that has these messages that you hear on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night are on that web page. People can listen to them, and they do, all over the world. We're supporting missionaries who have gone out to different parts of the world to take the gospel, and that's us. Helping send them out there. Not sending them, but helping send them. On the 11th of April, Lee Johnson, one of our missionaries, he grew up here. He's going to be here to share with us on Sunday morning some of his activities that are going on in Peru and some of the problems they've had with this coronavirus. He and his wife were separated for months because she had gone to visit her father and they closed up the country. But we also have gospel tracts in Iraq and there's just so many different ways that we can get the gospel out, and that's the job that we're supposed to have. We come here and we meet here to become sensitive to the leading of God's word and to understand what His word says. And so when we're not here, when you're not here, how are you learning? Are you at home studying the Bible during that time? I doubt it. But we want God's Spirit within us to have His word available to us to share with others. From this point on, this point in history, this point in time, the day we set the clocks ahead, the day you lost an hour's sleep, from this day on until the rapture. We have a job to do, and we need to make sure we get it done. We need to get the word out to the world. In light of the current events of the day, I was reading in the writings of Peter, and I see some things that I've overlooked in the past. For example, 1 Peter 2:13 through 16 says, submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And we've got a lot of foolish men running our government right now, and women. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. The Apostle Paul warned in the 13th chapter of Romans about being in subjection to present authorities. Peter, in his message that we just read, tells us practically the same thing. There's an exception in Paul's writings that every Christian should be aware of. If God tells us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what any man or government tells us in opposition. We have a job to do. We are to get the gospel out. Romans 13:15 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, subject to the government, but also for conscience sake. And that takes it completely out of the hands of the government and puts it in our heart. If our conscience is against what the government says, we obey our conscience, because that's where the Holy Spirit of God is. And so Paul warned believers in Romans about being in subjection to present authorities. According to Peter, we're to do right so that our well-doing will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Well, there's no shortage of foolish men and women. So our doing good according to God's word will silence them. Or at least it will shame them. Now, Peter does not go on in the next chapter to tell us what it's better to suffer for well-doing. Peter says in 3:17, 1 Peter, for it's better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for doing good than for evil, if we suffer for good well-doing other than evil-doing. We are to do right. We are to do what is good. We are not to do what is evil. In the Disney animation about the puppet Pinocchio, Pinocchio had a conscience. Do you remember his conscience? Jiminy Cricket. Our conscience goes with us. He doesn't have to tag along or... Our conscience goes with us. And our conscience is God communicating with us on a moment-by-moment situation. God gave you a conscience. I don't think animals have a conscience. Now, I've seen our dog respond when he knows he's done something bad, like a shamed dog, but people have conscience. You and I have conscience. And that is so God can communicate with us and tell us, okay, you're doing good. Pat on the head. Tail wagging. Or you're not doing good. Tail between our legs. We're to obey our conscience. No matter what is told us, no matter what is tried to be enforced upon us, we are to obey our conscience. Now, there's a possibility that I haven't addressed yet. God may want to take some of us home to be with him through martyrdom. Some of us are going to have to make decisions. I have been struggling with a decision. I am so happy to be living under the Constitution of the United States of America. This is not political, folks. This is just realistic. That has made it possible for us to have a church here. It's made it possible for us to preach the gospel, to believe the gospel, to practice the gospel. But the days might be coming in the future, depending on some of the decisions that are made, when we will no longer be able to do this freely. There's a Bill of Rights. And the first right is a freedom of religion and freedom of the press and freedom to be able to say whatever is on your heart. And they have outlawed a lot of that. They have said it's hate speech just because we're reading it out of this book. What would Jesus' answer be? If he were alive today, living with us, in this nation, what would his answer be? 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your life. And he may ask you to become a martyr. Oh, I don't want that. You don't want that. And yet, that is a possibility for the will of God. And I'm going to give you an example, one that I have struggled with. And Ricky, you may struggle with the same thing, your brother John. I have struggled with the thought of the Second Amendment. I own guns. I have ammunition for those guns. When that policeman is sent by the federal government to get my gun, guns plural, the policeman who lives across the street from me in another apartment, am I going to shoot him? No. When that person comes to me in that military uniform, maybe they live in the same apartment building, and they say, we're here to get your guns. Who do I shoot? I'm not going to shoot anybody. Now, this is a decision that individuals are going to have to make. I'm afraid. So, what do we do? Do we do what Jesus says? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator. Do I commit my life to God? Yes, I did that when I got saved. So did you. Am I willing to let him put my life in jeopardy for his testimony? I've heard Christians, I've talked to Christians, they've, oh no, I'm going to fight. I've got 45,000 rounds of ammunition for my AK-15. AR-15. Folks, that's not God's plan. That's not God's word. Difficult decision to make, but it's one that every individual is going to have to make. 1 John 4:2-6 says this, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, we agree with that. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. All right. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, even now already is in the world. I don't know whether he's in the world or not right now, but I think it's a possibility. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are not going to lose this battle, folks. God is going to be the ultimate winner. Jesus Christ already won on the cross 12,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago. Careful, Biden. Get my numbers all mixed up. We're not going to lose. It's actually finished. We just have to stick around for the victory. And we'll be around for the victory. We'll know about the victory. Some people want to define victory as parades and flags and banners and celebration, food, drink. But that's the world's definition of victory, not God's. Another definition could be that we are all gathered before the throne with our loved ones, with all those who have lived before. And there we are before the throne of God in heaven. That's victory. And that's a victory we will all experience if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Now, the world wants us to do this, and I'm amazed. 1 year's time, folks, the world has been separated from God and from each other by this COVID-19 thing. There are churches. Look, California. They can't meet maybe 50 people in a church out of 15,000. The whole idea is separate us. It's like a bundle of sticks. If you've got one, you can break it. If you got a whole bundle, you can't. And they don't want us getting together and being together and fellowshipping and reading God's word together and worshiping him together. But that, so they've said, okay, 6 feet apart. Everybody in masks. Can't go out here, can't go out there, can't eat there. Can't eat there. That's to separate people so there is no strength. Remember, one can be broken. A bundle you can't break. And so we need to cling together, folks, as a family of faith. A family who believes that God has us in his hand. God is going to take care of us. No matter what happens. And like I said, the ultimate victory is going to be when we gather before his throne. One thing the devil wants is separation between the followers of Jesus. And it wasn't godly people that declared churches had to close and remain closed. It was wicked people. And our reason was not to protect you, but to separate you from brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the reason that those orders were given. In less than 1 year, because it's been about a year, in less than 1 year, you and I have become the enemy because we are still together. We stand for the truth, for right. We want to live by the truth. We want to live by the word of God. They want to live by lies that their father, the devil, generates. They want absolute power and control over everybody. They can't accomplish their goals if we keep proclaiming the truth of the gospel. They can't succeed. As we put God's word out here in front of the church on this sign, people going by, that's going to prick their hearts. They're going to know that's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. And it's going to make those lies stand out like nothing else. If men keep hearing the truth, if they keep seeing the truth, it will become a shining light in the community. It will light up their souls. They'll turn to the source of that light, to the truth. And they'll turn away from the error of the world. You know, slavery was when men thought they owned each other. That they had a right to control and use other men and women any way they wanted to without any regard for what they wanted. I fear that the world has come full circle regarding slavery. There are people in authority who want to control our lives and to deprive us of the liberty and freedom that we have grown up under. They want to reinstitute slavery, and we'll be the slaves. This nation, the United States of America, was founded by men and women who came here to escape the domination and control of ungodly despots in Europe and Great Britain. They wanted the right to believe and to live by what they understood the Bible taught about men's relationship to God. They fled the countries where they were persecuted and even martyred for their faith. Our founding fathers were men of integrity, and now they're wanting to tear their statues down. They're wanting to take their names off from schools. They don't even want their names mentioned because you mention the name of George Washington and that stands for something. Folks, we've got to protest the lies that are being presented as truth, the destruction of our history. We have one job. Jesus gave it to us just before he left this earth. We're coming up on Easter. We're just 3 weeks away right now. He had one job that he gave to all of his disciples, 11 men, eventually 12 when Paul came into the group. But what was that one job? It was Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, this was after his resurrection, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. As we look at the present leaders of our country, we see a struggle going on for control and power. Some of our leadership want power at any cost. They want to sacrifice the nation for their own cause. They will lie and cheat and bribe their way to that position in order that they might continue in the direction they want to have us go. But there are still faithful here. Congregations like we have here who love God. And folks, we're going to continue to serve God freely from this book. We're going to live this book. We're not going to let them take it away. It may appear that the devil is winning, but I remember that there were times when God told his people Israel to stand by and watch him destroy their enemy. On one occasion, he destroyed 185,000. This doesn't happen just once, but over and over, God has protected his people. God has delivered his people. And so, folks, we don't have to depend upon ourselves. God is going to be the one who will deliver us. God is going to be the one to protect us, to take care of us. One of the examples of where God was taking care of his people is when the Israelites were leaving Egypt. They were following Moses. They came up on a huge army that outnumbered them. And Moses said this, Exodus 14, 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and shall hold, ye shall hold your peace. So folks, that's the promise I give you this morning. God is going to take care of us. God is going to take care of us. God is going to deliver us one way or the other. Has God changed? No, he has not. The same God that delivered Israel coming out of Egypt is going to deliver us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he moving toward his goal of returning the earth to the original creation? Yes, he is. Absolutely. All we have to do to be on the winning side is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our soul. And I hope this morning you have done that. And if you have not, this morning would be a good morning to do so. Let's pray. Father, we don't always understand what you're doing. But Father, we want to follow you. We want to keep up with you. We want to be doing the things that you would have us do to reach the world around us. Father, somewhere out there is the last soul to be saved. May we have the privilege of leading that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us, Father. Help us to know that you have us in your care, in your hand. And Father, help us to do your will in your way, in your time. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.